All right. Good evening, church. Welcome. It's Saturday night here, 9 p.m. Just we're going live. We're really happy to be doing this, and we're grateful for all of you who tuned in and shared last night's podcast. We're super grateful to Mike Hepburn for coming on and being our first special guest on the podcast, being able to talk about his book. Once again, we want to give him honor and bless him. So if you guys are interested in picking up the book, we would love to hook you up. You can go on Amazon and look up his book. And then, or if you can't find it on Amazon, just get in contact with us and we'll sell you. We will get you a book in your hands. That's right. So we have a couple guest speakers still coming up. So we're not going to be starting a new series. Going to kind of be going through a couple different topics. And as some of you might be able to see by the video title, we are talking about faith versus the law. So it'll be a really interesting topic tonight. We hope you guys are interactive and we can get some comments from you guys to hear what your thoughts are on this topic. So I'll be reading out of Romans 4, verses 13 to 25. So if you guys have your Bibles, I'd love it if you guys would open and read along with me. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, and when I'm done reading, I'll get Paul to pray over tonight's podcast, and then we'll get talking.
That's right.
So here we go. God promised Abraham and his descendants that they would have an heir who would reign over the world. This royal promise was not fulfilled because Abraham kept all the law, but through the righteousness that was transferred by faith. For if keeping the law earns the inheritance, then faith is robbed of its power, and the promise becomes useless. For the law provokes punishment, and where no law exists, there cannot be a violation of the law. The promise depends on faith so that it can be experienced as a grace gift. And now it extends to all the descendants of Abraham. This promise is not only meant for those who obey the law, but also for those who enter into the faith of Abraham, the father of us all. That's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations, which is what God was saying to Abraham. He's our example and father, for in God's presence he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that don't even exist yet. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. In spite of being nearly 100 years old when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises, Abraham glorified God. So now you can see why Abraham's faith was credited to his account as righteousness before God. And this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, but also over us. For when we believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God.
Wow. Thank you, Jack. Let's just pray right now. Father God, we just thank you tonight that you are here, Lord. And we glorify your name. We invite you, Lord, that to this place where we are speaking on this podcast and in this video, Lord, that your presence will be between us, Lord, and then you will be glorified. And I just pray right now that you will give us the revelation of your word, Lord, that as we speak, that it's going to come even more understanding on how you say and what you say and how your word becomes alive in us, Lord. We bless your name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you do a few announcements before?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, as always, you guys can find us on the web at www.theministrycompany.com, on Facebook and Instagram at The Ministry Company. We are going live tomorrow night at 5 p.m. for our recorded service. We would love to have you guys tune in on YouTube, and we're trying to see if Facebook might work. But for now, just stick to YouTube. That's where it'll be streaming, 5 p.m. for the premiere, and we'd love to have all you guys join us. This upcoming Wednesday, we'll be releasing a second episode on Quarantine Kitchen featuring Pavlo and guest Michael Hepburn, who will be showing us as a congregation how to prepare communion bread so that Thursday we will be doing a live stream from the church to partake in communion together before we enter into the weekend of Easter, before Friday the Crucifixion and Sunday Resurrection Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. Follow us for more details. Turn on your notifications.
That's right.
And we will be sharing with you guys more details on those things to come.
It's really interesting how you mentioned about the, you know, this kitchen of quarantine. No, it kind of brings things that you probably forgot about and all that stuff. And specifically, we will be doing the communion bread, no, and how it's done. And Mike will bring the whole history, how, you know, the Israelites will do it and what it means to be unleavened and how long it has to be and all that stuff. It's really interesting. He was kind of giving me some information yesterday about it, and I got really hooked on it. Like, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. You know, I grew up in church and I never knew how supposed to be that bread done, no, because it's always been done. But now we're going to learn how to do that bread as well. What I want to talk today, it's really one of those topics that, you know, we live by law, but where is the faith as well, no? And the law, the one we're going to be talking is the Mosaic law that God gave it to the Israelites to follow up the law. And what was the reason for that law? If we look at Romans 4, that it talks about that the law was not really even to be fulfilled by the humans, you know, like by us. It just only one person could fill it up. So one of the things that right from the beginning, if you look, it says God promised Abraham and his descendants that they would have an heir who would reign over the whole world. And it's kind of interesting that this was not actually a promise to Abraham completely, you know, that there is going to be a king in your descendants that are going to be ruling over the world. But in that specific verse, what we can see that the descendant that was actually meant to rule over the world is talking about Jesus. So Apostle Paul brings back understanding after the fact. This is where the promise is. And with the promises that God was giving to Abraham, listen, this is who is going to be your descendants. There's going to be kings and there's going to be rulers and everything. And on the midst of that, Apostle Paul could see, he's like, well, Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. And he is the one who will rule all the whole world. So that's where he is writing there. So there is not a mistake that maybe some of the scholars will say, oh, well, God did not actually said that, but Apostle Paul wrote about it. But that was the story behind it, why Apostle Paul actually wrote that stuff. And looking later on the last part of the verse, it says, but through the righteousness that was transferred by faith. So this royal promise was not fulfilled because of Abraham kept all the law, but through the righteousness that was transferred by faith. And it's interesting, it's like, you know, I kind of wrote here's one of the passages, it kind of says that the law was like a mirror for all of us to understand, okay, this is what God wants us to do, and this is how should be done and everything. But it was a mirror just to show our parts where we need to change, our parts where we might not be following the way how God wanted to follow. And God was just pointing like, this is how I want you to follow. And it was kind of sad if we look the whole Mosaic law, the way how God was speaking to Moses and everybody. It was just kind of sad that, not sad to fail, but I would say it was sad to reflect that there's no possible way, that we can accomplish all this stuff. Because even if we would start somewhere we would fail. And the reason for that, why it was like that we cannot fulfill the law, is because we come from a sinful nature right away, you know. We are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. We've been born into this world already sinful, you know. And that's what Romans talks about too, that we all transgress against God. We all sin against God and we need to have a redemption. And this is what was kind of the purpose of law, that God was saying, okay, here I know that you will fail, but here is I'm going to give you the solutions that you can do so I can actually even to have some relationship with you. So he implemented the sacrifice. You know, you have to do sacrifice. If you transgress, then you do a sacrifice, and the blood of the lamb or will be sprinkled over you, and that sin will be forgiven. That will be covered. And this is the thing, that sin will be covered. So it's not only, I would say, like, the sin is forgiven, but it's covered. God is kind of not seeing it, but because it was clean, was covered by the blood of the animal. And later on, as we know the story of Abraham, no, that God considered him as a righteous man. On the end of when we read in Romans and then Hebrews, it says that he was faithful, he was righteous man. But is his road, you know, to the righteousness, as it was like really simple, as it was really, you know, okay, God promised him and then right away it happens. No, it actually didn't. When we look, God speaks to him at the age of 75 and said, this is what is going to happen to you. You're going to have a descendant. And Abraham was like, well, at age of 75, so he maybe thought, okay, the next year, maybe the following year. And the promise was standing still, you know. It's like, okay, God, you did not fulfill the promise. And then, like, you know, keep going and keep going. And, you know, like, he is 99. And he's like, is it really going to happen now or not? And then at the age of 100, so 25 years later, after God spoke to him about the promise that he's going to have a son that is going to come from him and Sarah, God accomplishes. And that this is kind of gives me at least the understanding how faith works, the faith that endures. Like, I would be persevering in my faith. Sometimes I'm sure that Abraham probably forgot and said, like, okay, well, I don't know if this is truly was from God or not. And maybe he was going through the years and we see the mistake that was made with him and Hagar, no, and he has Ishmael. But on the end of everything, like, the promise was there. The promise came. And this is what interesting it says, verse 18, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. So this is kind of give me a full lesson. It's like, against all odds. And sometimes when we look, it's like, well, this is impossible. This is impossible, you know, all odds against. Am I going to believe in those odds? I'm going to believe in what God said.
Yeah, that's good.
That's awesome. So he took, again, it says, he took God at his word. And as a result, he became the father of many nations. So he took God at his word. So he actually kind of just said, okay, I'm going to believe in your word, God. And I'm going to take that word. I'm just going to not only believe it, but I'm going to maybe even physically, he said, like, I'm going to just grab your word. And I'm going to keep you accountable, God, because you promise. And I know it's been 25 years, but I know it's going to get fulfilled. And he became the father of many nations. And God's declaration over him came this: your descendants will be many, be so many that they will be impossible to count. And even to this day, we actually cannot even have a count how many people we have of the Jewish descent. And the reason for that, like, if we look at the history, it was two times that the Babylonian nations, they went and sieged Jerusalem, and they took Israelites captive to Babylon. So that would be the territory of Iraq right now. And the first time, all the tribes came back. But then the last time, the second time when they were coming back, only one tribe actually returned. It was the tribe of Judah. And the other tribes did return, but it was not on a significant amount. So that's why if we look much deeper in the history, when all those Jews just went spread all over the world, because with the return of tribe of Judah back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the Jerusalem and everything, maybe one of these days we can talk about that. But what was actually created on that time, they created synagogues because they didn't have the temple, so they wanted to have a place where they would worship. And this is kind of relates to the moment where we live right now as well. So basically the Israelites, they had the temple. They would come to the temple and they would worship the Lord there. And then the Babylonians came and they took over and they destroyed the temple. So now they don't have the temple and they don't know what to do anymore. So it's kind of like us, you know, like we might get used to it, to be going to the church and we have the building. And
yeah. And then all of a sudden we're at home.
That's
full
right.
Full time, yeah.
And so they don't have something to focus on, and the elders, they just like said, you know what, this is what we're going to do. Let's have these communities, and they call them synagogues, where they would study the law, what they would study the prophets, what they would study the word of God. And that's how the synagogue were created. But what's interesting, when we look through the years afterwards, when Apostle Paul goes for a mission trip, no, and he walks to every single city and he finds Jewish people and he finds synagogues. So what started as a family church or family temple where they would study the word of God, it became bigger places. And that was actually a platform later on for Apostle Paul to go in and preach there and talk about Jesus and testify to them. And many were they converted. And that was a predestined plan from God. Even on years before that, let's say 500, 400 years before that, that this is how God operated, maybe even 600 years, that he prepared the platform where the mission work, the evangelistic work of Apostle Paul and many others actually worked. And another thing what was created in that time, and this is something like that went a little bit, maybe not the proper way, because there was a lot of things that they added, the men added. And that's what Jesus was actually fighting with all that. So because there was a Mosaic law and there was the laws that were created by the people, you know, just by the people, no, like this is what we believe, this is how we should do it. And that specific group of people, they were called Pharisees and Sadducees. So there were two groups of, I don't know if it's political or like religious
parts, leaders. Yeah. Religious, yeah, I know
so,
what you're saying.
Those two groups, they were creating like enhanced parts of law, no? When Jesus came and then he starts debating with them about the law and it all goes back and forth, no? And they like, well, but this is what says in the law. And Jesus responds to them actually back to the Mosaic law. He says like, yeah, this is what you say, but this is how God said to Moses and this is how I'm saying. So it's kind of, he brought, okay, here's the human factor, here's the law that was given to Moses, but here I'm going to give the word that I'm going to speak what the Father actually meant in that occasion, no? And it's kind of brings that the law that was not only Mosaic, but the human law, and they were like forcing to do things that probably, you know, they were not right because they were just didn't like something. So again, that the law that was made by Pharisees and Sadducees was more on the law of likeness. Well, this is what I like. This is what our culture will accept, instead of being more grounded on the, this is how God would see those things to be happen. It was really, really interesting how it was going back and forth, and they're like, well, this is how it says, and you need to be doing that way. And Jesus is like, says, okay, well, I understand this is justice, but my Father actually delights in mercy. So we can be just, yes, by justice you need to do this, but my Father delights in mercy. So are you going to show mercy, or are you just going to say, you know what, you messed it up, you need to be killed because you messed it up? And everybody would recognize that yeah, I messed it up, but Jesus showed the other face and kind of like, this is how my Father operates. He operates in love. And if you keep going back, no, to Romans, it says that Abraham, he never stopped believing in God's promise. And this is for us, like, you know, we receive these promises of God. And I know there is odds against us. And we know that, you know, again, we are getting to what week is this? Like third week,
yeah,
of,
yeah,
whatever.
About that, I don't even know anymore.
It's just, I don't know, I'm lost. How many weeks? Come on, somebody write
I just
comments.
Finished my second week of being back to school. So this is our third. We just finished our third week.
Wow. So three, yeah, weeks we've been in isolation. And, you know, and it's like the anxiety is running high. And I'll tell you one thing, like it's going to get much higher. It's not going to get any better, because even if you look at all the news and if you're looking at all the odds, we know that we are not even at the peak. We know that there's going to be probably at least a few more weeks until we get the peak, and then who knows how many more weeks until we get. So we are here for the long run, and even at this time, all the odds are against us. But the word today is like, are you going to be keeping the promises of God. Because this is the benefit. When Abraham was keeping, he was keeping the promises. He never stopped believing in God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. So be strong in your faith for what God has spoke to you.
Yeah.
If God spoke to you that you're going to father a child, well, you will father a child. And God will reveal how that's going to happen. If God spoke to you that you will have a house, then you will have a house. Mm-hmm. You just need to stay. You know, if God said, like, you know, you will have the bread, you will have the food, I will be with you all the time, then just keep that promise. Like, don't look at all the odds, what is against. Because this is the benefit. Now, verse 22 says, so now you can see why Abraham's faith was credited to his account as righteous before God. So Abraham actually was not saved by Jesus, but he became righteous because he was keeping the promises of God. Now for us, it's a lot easier than for Abraham. We still have to keep the promises. We still have to keep the faith in him. But when we look later on, it says, and this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, but also over us. So this declaration about righteousness, that we're going to become righteous in front of God, is actually for us as well. For when we believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, when we believe in God that gave the resurrection to Jesus, the perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. So to become righteous in the eyes of God, we just have to believe that God is the one that brought Jesus from the dead. But if we look just from the dead, we don't understand what actually happened. We need to understand the full picture of it. And the full picture, as it says on the next verse, it says, Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. So he was crucified. He died on the cross. And this week, what is coming up tomorrow is Palm Sunday. And we know that the whole account how Jesus was entering to the Jerusalem and everything. But on the whole thing, this whole week that we're going to live, and you'll see a lot of podcasts, we're going to be talking about that, about Jesus getting to the cross and what that meant and what it means for Jesus bring the forgiveness for us. But this is the thing, because you believe in God that raised Jesus from the dead, you believe in that fact that Jesus was risen from the dead. So you believe in the fact that Jesus was dead for a reason, and that reason was for the sins that you and I commit on day to day. And for us to become righteous, we need to believe in the whole picture of all is Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood. For what? So your sins and my sins will be not only covered, but been forgiven forever. So now, when God is looking at you and I, he is not looking at you just, you know, like, okay, whatever your name is, he's looking at you through Jesus, that you carry his last name. When you accept his sacrifice for you, you carry his last name. But if Jesus would only die and just stay there, there is no victory for us. Yes, there is forgiveness of sins, but there is no victory for us. But Jesus not only died, but he was resurrected. And in a week or so, in 8 days, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's the biggest celebration, the biggest holiday for the whole Christianity.
Yeah.
The nativity, it is important.
Bigger than Christmas, bigger, oh yeah, big time.
The Christmas is good, it's about the gifts and everything. God sends his gift. But the biggest gift, it's been received on the day of his resurrection. Yeah. Because he says, it is finished, and here, I'm just bringing to you the salvation from the Lord. It says, and was raised back to life. Why he was raised back to life? To prove that he has made us righteous with God. And tonight, as we finish this podcast, this is my desire, as your pastor, or as whoever just listening, as a believer in Christ, this is my desire. That you will be strong in God, that you will stand strong and firm in his word and his promises. His promise was for life. And it says, who receives Jesus, he has eternal life. So regardless what we are living right now through, you know, regardless of the situations that we're living right now, we need to be secure in Christ, knowing that doesn't matter what happens with me. right now, am I, you know, it's running through the head, you know, like you, some people will get a little bit of cough or stuffed nose and is like, okay, corona, corona, you know, and what's going to happen? Am I going to die? Listen, our assurance is in Jesus. If he heals us, great. And if he doesn't heal us, then great as well. Why? Because we're just going to be going with him. Is this is what we live for. This is what we waiting for. This is what we are striving for. We are striving for to see him face to face. We are striving to that day when our faith is going to be obsolete because we're going to see him face to face. And that's what the whole thing about law versus faith, that by law we are dead. By law we cannot come to God close. But by faith, we're going to see him face to face. That's what makes you righteous. Jesus, that's the one who makes you righteous because you accepted him. You accepted the God that resurrected him. And this is how I'm going to just end there. And if you don't know that Jesus, just message us. We will explain you more about Jesus. I don't want people to just leave this world without knowing or hearing about this Jesus, who this Jesus is. And it's the same thing for all of you who are listening and watching us. Like, you know, this is the encouragement for you. You know, like, bring at least one more person back to Christ. We don't know what time we are living, but we are living on a perfect time to share the gospel. God bless you. I'm just going to close in prayer. Father God, I just thank you right now. But for the people who are watching us and listening to us, that you will be with them. That your righteousness that came through the resurrection and through your death in the cross, Lord, that will be upon our life, Lord. That we want to be accounted as righteous in front of you. We want to be with you, Lord. We want to have that relationship close with you, Lord. And I pray for protection where we are, Lord, that you will be covering us, not just because we cherish our lives, but because we want to share your gospel more and more, Lord, because we don't want to leave just with ourselves, you know. We just don't want to live just by ourselves. I want to see, Lord, more salvations, Lord. I want to see more people see the life that is in you, Lord. And I just pray right now that anybody who is going through a difficult time of anxiety, of depression because of all this virus thing, Lord, I just pray that you will give them strength to stay strong in your word, in your faith, in your promises, because you said, I promise you life and life in abundance, Lord. I just pray right now that abundance will come upon us, Lord. And I pray for our governments that they will take proper decisions, Lord, that they will be taking decisions for life, Lord. And I just pray right now that everybody who needs you, Lord, that who needs to know you more, Lord, I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, you will be touching their hearts and you will give them that hunger to get to know you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys tuning in with us. We will see you guys not tomorrow night, because tomorrow night you guys will be tuning into the YouTube live stream at 5 p.m. on YouTube, just as a reminder from the announcements at the beginning. We will see you guys Monday night. Make sure to tune in 9 p.m. We have a special guest that we're going to be going live with. We actually won't be going live on Facebook. We will only be live on Instagram Monday night, 9 p.m.
That's right.
So we love you. We appreciate you guys tuning in. And we will see you guys face-to-face Monday night, 9 p.m. Bye
God
now.
Bless you.